The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, well, good morning, greetings. Welcome to the Beacon Radio Show. My name is Steve Woods. I serve as your host. We are thrilled to be in studio again today, and we want to start out by honoring our sponsor, Phoenix Christian. Thank you for making the Beacon Radio Show possible. We get together once a week, and we talk about how God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable, and been doing that for nearly a year now. As we solicited in our last recording show, we're looking for some feedback from those of you who might be listening, and that's easy to email in at feedback@beaconradioshow.com. If you're looking for prior programs, you can find that at phoenixchristian.org/beacon or on SoundCloud. And boy, getting right into the program today, I am delighted to introduce and to have in studio a very special guest by the name of Nancy Bardo. Nancy serves in the House of Representatives for Arizona, serving District 15, or representing District 15. Nancy, thank you for being here today.
Oh, it's a great honor. Thank you.
It's super cool. And also in studio today, we have Jeff Blake, Superintendent of Phoenix Christian, who is co-hosting with me today. So thankful to have Jeff in studio again this week. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, and I'm excited to be here and learn from Nancy.
This is really cool. And you know, we were talking off the air. It's interesting to have two folks with me today in the studio, one of whom had political aspirations as a young person and one of whom didn't. And interestingly enough, the one who did now serves as superintendent of Phoenix Christian, and the one who didn't serves as a representative in the state of Arizona. So we can laugh about that. And that really speaks to the whole theme of our show, in that God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. And Nancy, your story, which we want to jump right into, is one that really resonates with me. I think it's super cool that your life and the path that you're on is marked by availability. Sort of, God, if you really can use anybody, I may not feel comfortable, I may not feel equipped, but sign me up.
God is a very interesting person. He really is. And yes. That would describe my journey for sure. The last thing that I expected in my life, being a stay-at-home mom of three young daughters and, you know, just happy doing all of that, was that I would end up having a second career, serving in the State House and the Senate and continuing to do that for a number of years. And it's just been quite a ride and a wonderful experience. I'm thrilled to be able to tell this story because I think it's so encouraging, because people often have this idea that if you're going to be in politics or go for an elected office, even school board or something, that you have to have some kind of big pedigree or some kind of experience. And, you know, that's just not the case.
Yeah, credentials as compared to what God has in store isn't always the deal, right? It's always, God's going to open the door, and are we going to be obedient to step forward and follow where He leads us, or is the fear going to be too great? And I know that what you do isn't without a great deal of respect and even maybe fear at sometimes, but God's been faithful from the get-go. And we want the listeners to have a chance to know you a little bit personally. Talk about, if you would, you were pretty young when your family moved to Phoenix, and talk about your history here in the city and the state.
Yeah, both Joe and I moved here when we were very young. Our dads were transferred out with Motorola in those years.
Wow.
And grew up in the Arcadia area. But fast forward, you know, we got married, stayed here, had three daughters, and, you know, we started really kind of getting more interested in the political as our daughters grew up. Mm. And we had a wonderful church where we had a pastor that kind of talked about the issues, which is kind of unusual. We grew up Lutheran, but we went to a different church when we got married and met Bud and Brenda, mm-hmm. Allison, and some others who talked about issues. And as our girls grew up, we learned about what was going on in the public schools with religious freedom, with school issues that involved parental rights. And those kind of piqued our interest. And so, you know, we were kind of ripe for getting involved peripherally. I mean, I remember thinking, wow, I didn't realize that Planned Parenthood was actually able to take a young girl out of a public school across state lines for an abortion without her parents knowing. And at that point, I thought, wow, don't we have a law against that? And started, you know, listening to people like Kathy Herod, who's so involved with the Center for Arizona Policy, and others who started, you know, spreading the word about what's going on in our state. At that point, that's kind of where our political involvement started moving forward. Our youngest was about five, and I remember hearing clearly then that God wanted me to maybe go out and start praying in front of one of these abortion clinics. I heard that was happening, that prayer was there, and maybe I should go out and join them. So I brought our youngest, and once a week joined with others and stood out there and prayed. And it was a kind of a new experience for me growing up evangelical. Mm-hmm. But I learned a lot firsthand how, you know, just your presence, when you pray on site, mm-hmm. there's something spiritual that happens. And I mean, it's not unlike, you know, when we have our first day at the Capitol in an open session and people come down and pray for us. There's something different than just praying in your home for your legislators. Being there on site, everybody knows that there's something powerful about that. And that led to another interesting opportunity for me and others who experienced some discrimination by the city of Phoenix. Because, frankly, when people are outside of an abortion clinic praying for those that are entering for an abortion, and some reaching out, giving them opportunities for making a different choice, some information, offering to pray for them, to help them out, it cuts into their business model. And the powers that be in the city of Phoenix at that point went beyond the rule of law, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and others, and they passed an ordinance saying that you couldn't pray or be on a public sidewalk within so many feet of an abortion clinic. Mm. At that point, that was in the early 90s. And so I got the opportunity to be a plaintiff in a case taking the city of Phoenix on with a couple of other women that were praying outside that particular clinic. And we took it to the court. We took it to the state court and eventually all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we won that case because it was a clear violation of our First Amendment right. So that was my first foray into what God can do here with just, you know, hearing his voice saying, you know, why don't you go out there and do this small thing,
right,
and be a part of what I'm doing.
Well, and ultimately that small thing ended up being a very big thing because of how it evolved and went through the court system and how it was upheld, you know, and so... interesting to hear, and also interesting to know that we're both a member of that three girl club. You have three girls, and our family has three girls as well. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I tell people a lot, especially some of the young adults that I meet that are guys in high school. I'm like, hey, be careful what you wish for, because you know, when I was in high school, all I wanted was to be surrounded by beautiful girls, and now I have been. And so, with your daughter who's five, and you show up at this place, you know, it's interesting the impact that has on our kids when we live lives of obedience.
Absolutely.
And so I'm sure now they're grown, and where's your family at today?
Yeah, and my husband is very happy having a grandson right now.
Woo!
But but he couldn't have agreed more. He loved having, you know, all the attention of all the female attention.
we're spoiled like that.
Oh yeah.
That's incredible. And so so that was the beginning for you of, all right, Lord, I'll take this step of faith. I'll just go and pray. Mm-hmm. And then God used that in a way that was much more significant than you could have imagined as it related to the defending of that First Amendment right. And then what next? How did you proceed from there?
Well, what next was getting involved in a particular campaign in our district. You know, that is an eye-opener, mm-hmm. I think, for a lot of people. When they understand what's really going on, are they really being represented? And you really, sometimes you don't understand until you're involved in getting some information about how your representatives are voting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just assume that if we vote, you know, for a person with an R or a D, and that they represent the principles that they say they represent. And we were learning in our district at the time that our Republican state senator was voting down, you know, issues, policies like parental consent for abortion, parental notification, and those types of basic things that a parent would really want their representative to vote for. And so not only did I start writing letters to them, you know, from my kitchen table, but when somebody stepped up to challenge one of these representatives in our district, we got involved in their campaign to the point where we were, you know, hosting little coffees and things for this person, and walking neighborhoods, doing what we could. It was not much, but we were writing letters to our friends and saying, hey, you know, this person really needs to be elected. Help us, you know, get involved, come and meet him. And he ended up defeating an incumbent in the state Senate by only about 250 votes because a lot of people like me got involved. Right. So that was the next step that showed me that, you know, my involvement made a difference. And from there, we became precinct committee people.
Okay.
And I learned a little bit more about what that all entails, which is, you know, pretty interesting. It's a great opportunity for your everyday person to understand what's going on. The candidates come every month to the meetings and kind of fill you in on what's happening at the Capitol and in the state, and you get to know them.
100%. You know, there's a couple of things that you mentioned that I want to underscore. One is Center for Arizona Policy and how I know my wife and I have been really dependent on the information we get from them to know some of those things about how individuals are really voting, regardless of their political party affiliation. You can't take that for granted, just as you said. And when we come back in this next segment, we're going to continue to hear more from Nancy. We're going to learn a little bit more about how that early beginning and just hosting those parties and those events and getting involved at the precinct level has led to a much grander ambition that's coming forth. So you don't want to miss that. Come back in the next segment. Thanks for tuning in to 960 The Patriot. Thanks for listening to The Beacon. We're glad you're here.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Well, good morning and welcome back. You're listening to The Beacon, and I'm partnering here this morning with our host, Steve Woods, and we're blessed to have Representative Bartow in studio with us this morning. And it is Representative Bartow, and I was hoping that you could kind of unpack for us how you came to serve in the current position that you serve in the state legislature.
Well, it's really funny. It's something I never, ever imagined would happen. Frankly, you know, I was very content to stay in the background and just support people that want to do big things like that. I've enjoyed being a homemaker and supporting my husband and doing all of that. And so, you know, when we became precinct committee people and he was asked to actually run for district chairman in our district, he was on the road a lot as a salesperson, and he goes, there's just no way I can do that. But Nancy, and he's pointing at me, and I'm saying, no, waving my hands wildly. But, you know, the person he was on the phone with said, well, you know, we'll see what kind of what people think of Nancy, you know. And so it turned out God spoke to me and he said, well, you know, are you going to really put your faith to work? I mean, are you going to continue to be obedient where it's uncomfortable? I mean, I was at the point where I was afraid of even leading a two-person prayer meeting. I mean, really, oh, wow. That's my fear level of being in front of people. And being a district chairman was a huge step.
Mm-hmm.
You have to run a monthly meeting. You meet important people like representatives. I say that tongue-in-cheek.
I know how intimidating that can be.
But anyway, it was one of these things you actually had to run for and get the votes for from the precinct committee people. They elect the district chairman.
And how many people serve on a precinct committee?
There are about, gosh, I should know this. There are about 100 precincts in every district.
Okay.
And not quite that many, but it varies. And then there's between 5 and 20 precinct committee people per precinct. So, you know, if you have a full precinct stable, you can have hundreds of precinct committee people potentially electing a district chairman. There aren't that many usually that fill those spots. But it's an important position. It's a political position. And so I ran for it when I realized God wanted me to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
So I called people out of the blue and told them who I was, what I stood for, and said why I was running. And, you know, that I was a conservative. I believed in the principles of freedom in our Constitution and right to life and freedom to choose our own health care and all on and on, you know, gun rights, all of those things that good Republicans believe, because I truly believe them as well. And I got drilled. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome aboard.
But it all came down to me against two lawyers that were both running.
Okay.
Who both had a lot of experience, and I won, amazingly, and served in that position for 4 years and just really learned a lot. Then something unusual happened. There was a vacancy in office. And the first time it had happened in our district, and what happens is the precinct committeemen vote for three people to replace that person, and then the superintendents choose one of those three. And so we went through that process, and I was intent not to be one of the three.
A reluctant leader.
Absolutely. And a couple hours before the election, we had our three candidates that I was backing. One of them pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe said, wow, this is the one we really wanted.
Mm.
He goes, you're going to need to put your name in. And so I did, and I was one of the three, and I was picked. And that's my story. I went down midterm in 2006 and then ran later that year. In the election, and I thought, wow, this is just really something. It was just God kind of putting me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine going through that journey. There's an incredible clarification of what you stand for. You're forced to articulate it more than you've ever had to explain it.
Absolutely.
And an incredibly refining season for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're dropped in these committees, and you have to vote just the next day on stuff you haven't even looked at. But I can just see God's hand, you know, the favor he gave me with leadership, you know, putting me almost from the very beginning on committees that I would really be able to dig into, health and human services,
mm-hmm.
Committees where I was now in a position not only, you know, to stand for life, but to vote for pro-life and sponsor pro-life legislation for my constituents and for our children.
And so now I sense a new chapter for you and a new transition. And help us understand some of these new chapters that you're pursuing currently.
Yes. Well, you know, over the years, you know, as I said, it's just been an incredible opportunity to be able to forward, you know, come in at a time when, you know, Obamacare was hitting, and the states had to make decisions, standing for on immigration issues, on how are we going to deal with a number of things that the culture is just forcing the state to take a stand on. And over the years, I think, you know, you come to understand more and more how important those stands are. Now, we're understanding that, you know, the culture is so much more coarse. The culture is so much more divided mm-hmm. that we are at a crossroads in our country. Mm-hmm. We really are. There's no more middle ground. Mm-hmm. We either uphold life, we either uphold religious liberty, and all of the freedoms that go along with that, I mean, including whether or not we can choose what kind of health care we have and what we're paying for, how our tax dollars are used, whether or not we're going to have the freedom to defend ourselves, all of those things, whether we're going to have a free market.
Mm-hmm.
Where's our economy going? Are we going to become a de facto socialist nation and give everything away and become a redistributive nation? Where are we going? We have to find out where people are. And not only is our majority very, very slim in the legislature now, but we have representatives in our own parties that undermine our own principles. They run on one thing and they vote a different way.
Right.
And so that's sort of the position I'm in right now, where my seatmate is in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
And after last session, people were asking me to consider seriously challenging her in the Senate, for the state Senate.
Well, I get it, Nancy. You're right. When we come back in this next segment, we're going to talk about a real life, real time battle that's going on right now. Nancy's on the front lines. Don't miss it.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Well, again, welcome back to this third segment of The Beacon today. We're thrilled to have in studio with us Nancy Bardo, serving as a state representative and now running for state Senate. And Nancy, the platform upon which you're running is that which you've been doing as a representative. And let's hit those high points and then let's talk about a really specific issue in this segment.
Thank you so much. Yes, I think, you know, when I look at what I stand for, I just see America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what people expect of their representatives is to stand for their individual freedoms or constitutional freedoms, to protect the most vulnerable and the right to life, protecting every innocent life.
Mm.
Limited and accountable government mm-hmm. is key to both of those things, making sure that we have safe and secure borders, that education and healthcare decisions are protected, that parental rights are key in both of those areas of life. They're fundamental rights for parents to control their own and their children's future in terms of their education and their healthcare decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are fundamental. And I have been just focused, laser focused on those, and had a great opportunity to be able to forward a lot of those issues, starting with the Healthcare Freedom Act years ago, working on the marriage amendment that went through and that Arizona passed. Even last year, because of the Trump administration's work federally, giving states the opportunity to have lower cost, more affordable health care, I ran bills that would allow those opportunities to be here in Arizona. You know, I've always tried to uphold the rights of patients and parents,
mm-hmm.
And the rights to protect every individual life.
Well, you know, and you mentioned earlier in the program how, and I think I have maybe been somebody characterized by this, how we sometimes run the risk of thinking that those folks that are aligned with us in terms of political party are also aligned with us in terms of belief system and in terms of the things that we deem are most important. And you just can't take that for granted. Maybe if you could some number of years ago, you can't today. And I think that's one of the keys to your campaign, is that you really need to look at a voting record. You really need to look at what this person that you're considering backing is all about. And, you know, in this program sponsored by Phoenix Christian, we do some things on education. We have another show coming up soon where we'll talk a little bit about the opportunities for tax credits that go across the state, which is somewhat unique to the state of Arizona and a great thing about where we live in the government and what we're allowed to do. But the point being that choice, that every parent should have the opportunity. It might be the best scenario for that parent to homeschool their kid for a number of reasons. They should have that option. It might be the best scenario to take advantage of a public school system that's right there, and they should have that option. It might be the right option to have them in a private Christian education, and they should have that option. I think that's the kind of freedom in all of these categories that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Well, very specific to that, there's something that's happening right now, and you're right in the middle of it, and the state legislature as a whole is covering it. It's in the media right now, and it's really a big issue. And this is the Save Women's Sports Act. In the remainder of this segment, we've got a couple of minutes. Let's really talk about how critical this is.
Well, unfortunately, it's something we really need to deal with right now. The Save Women's Sports Act is just a bill that's going to clarify in law that males can't compete on a female athletic sports team.
Mm-hmm.
As basic as we all believe
that
should be,
right? Yeah.
That's being threatened right now. And males, biological males who identify as females are now allowed to compete on female sports teams. And this is, you know, across the country, Interscholastic Association's policy.
Mm.
So what we're seeing is, girls that have been their whole dream
mm-hmm.
to compete, to work hard for becoming the best at what they do, no matter what sport it is. Now, they're seeing males compete on the same playing field and take away those opportunities, whether they're, you know, medals that they earn, regional titles or scholarship opportunities.
I find it fascinating because it really seems to almost undo a big part of what Title IX was all about. Here you have a situation where we're trying to create an opportunity for women to have some of the same opportunities that male athletics have in their own sport. And then now we're saying, okay, well, you have that, but these guys are going to compete with you as well. And that just makes no sense to me.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Common sense and, frankly, the research studies, they verify that even with cross-sex hormone therapy,
right,
that does not level the playing field.
Well, and unfortunately, there's a much greater agenda at work. We'll talk about that in the next segment when we come back. And thank you again for tuning into The Beacon. We thank Nancy for being here, Jeff for being in studio, and as always, Jeremy for keeping us on track, our producer. Come on back for the next segment.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Hey, if you happen to just be tuning into our show here on 960 The Patriot today, we're fortunate to have Representative Nancy Bardo in studio, and of course, Jeff Blake, our co-host, and just so thankful to have this opportunity to talk about really important things. Nancy, in our last segment, we got into the Save Women's Sports Act and how that's really the forefront of the news. Last night I watched the news. It was there. And, you know, and I have to confess, as just a guy who watches the news with no great political aspiration, I was looking for the other side of that story. What I saw were folks talking about a bathroom bill and the gender this and that. And I'm just like, wait a minute, it's not about that at all. This is just about the opportunity to, you know, maintain some sanity in the legislation as it relates to this.
Absolutely.
Pick it up from there.
You know, it is common sense. And the polling bears that out. Over 60% of people, and this is across the board, partisan, nonpartisan.
Okay.
People understand and support a bill like this that's going to make this clarification, because they understand that distinctions in sports are common and necessary in order for fairness. I mean, look at, you know, welterweights, featherweights, all of those things in
school sizes, Division One, Division Two, Division Three.
Absolutely.
You know,
age distinctions, the weight of a shot put between male and female, the height of a volleyball net for women's and men's volleyball, the height of a golf tee. Mm. There's no bounds to the distinctions that have been made between men and women's sports. And so to all of a sudden throw all of that out and say, well, in this case, we have to consider the feelings of somebody who is identifying as a female. There's still only two sexes, and nothing, no matter how much you go through this cross-sex therapy, hormone therapy, as I mentioned earlier, will take away from the advantages of a male over a female in a competitive sport. They still have much greater lung capacity. Their muscle and their bone structures are inherently different. And, you know, I think it's important to understand, too, that some radical feminist groups agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them actually
are offended by it.
Well, they are, and they're speaking out. One group, Wolf, Women's Liberation Front, they testified last month in a similar hearing in New Hampshire for a bill like this, because they understand that you have to draw the line here to mm-hmm. protect women. And they're not the only ones. Last year, a group of feminists that are radically feminist and agree with things I don't, they're all for what's happening in Congress as far as the Equality Act, but they say don't abandon Title IX. Mm-hmm. If we don't clarify this right now, Title IX will be obliterated. Women's sports will be obliterated.
Yeah. Well, if I'm a listener and I'm hearing this, and maybe I'm not aware of it, or maybe I was, but I'm inspired to take some step of action. What one thing can I do to support the right side of this issue in the state of Arizona?
Well, I think getting informed like this is really important. You know, understand this is not about, you know, coming down on anybody or discriminating against anybody or keeping anybody from participating in sports. People of both sexes and individuals identifying, they just need to stay within their lane. That's all this is about.
So do I write my representative? Do I call somebody? What can I do?
Absolutely. Get involved. You know, ask your representative how they feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, the polling is clear. People understand inherently that there are two sexes, but that's not represented at the Capitol. This has become a really partisan issue, and unnecessarily so.
It doesn't have to be that way, that's for sure. Well, so let's transition a little bit into right now and today. And here you are, having served faithfully as a representative for a while, and currently you're running in a primary against a single opponent to win the opportunity to compete for the Senate seat for District 15. Let's talk about that.
Thank you. You know, this is one of those opportunities where, again, I'm sort of put in a position where, you know, I didn't really want to ever do this. I didn't want to have to take on a seatmate that I've been serving with for years. But I was really challenged to do that at the end of last session, because her voting record is just so outrageous. When we run for office, we say we support certain things, like our Constitution, like our fundamental freedoms, and then vote the other way. Mm. I think it's time for that information to come out to the public. That's what this primary is going to be about. You know, I've stood for life. I've stood for religious liberty. My opponent has undermined those at every turn throughout our work together, our serving together. And we've been waiting for someone to take her on, but nobody has. She's got a lot of money
mm-hmm.
because she represents big interests, big money interests, big education interests. She's undermined school choice, school opportunity for parents. She's actually sponsor the Equal Rights Amendment and undermine religious liberty by sponsoring the Sexual Orientation Gender Identity Bill, which was struck down recently at the Supreme Court through the Brush and Nib case. I mean, there was no religious exemption in her bill protecting employers, I mean, even churches, from having to violate their fundamental religious beliefs. You know, these are serious issues that we don't expect somebody who says they stand for something and then they vote another way. They sponsor bills that are just outrageously opposite of that worldview to continue serving. And so I was asked, and that's not all. It's every issue. It's every issue. Mm. You know, from elections reform, you name it, Second Amendment. So I was asked to consider this seriously, and I've taken on this challenge, and I have quite a challenge. My challenge is to fundraise, and I would this race is being looked at statewide, so I'm appealing to everybody in the state because they see anybody that's watched the Capitol over the years has understood that there's quite a difference between Heather Carter and Nancy Bartow, and they understand the importance of electing Nancy Bartow to represent our fundamental rights and freedoms in the state legislature.
Well, there's a couple of things that come to mind as I listen to you, and one of them is a saying that I learned from a friend some time ago, which is, what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say. And what's happening and what you're describing is somebody who has been put into office as one thing, but it really is acting out in a different way, and we need to have that authenticity that is consistent, is congruent with the values that people are voting for, and I think that's really important. And the other, and I just want to tell you what an honor it has been to have the opportunity to have you in the studio today, to hear how somebody who, compelled by the Holy Spirit, compelled really by God to step outside of their comfort zone, was willing to say, all right, you know, if you really can use anybody, you know what, I'll go and pray in front of an abortion clinic. I don't know the outcome of that, but I'm willing to take that step of obedience. And what's interesting to me is, along the way, it's clear that you've been outside your comfort zone, maybe even times faced with fear that you had to confront. But this is the other thing that I've learned, that it takes a greater fear to cast out fear. And before you, and before our audience rather today, it's clear that as intimidated as you might be by taking the next step, you're more afraid of not taking the next step. Am I right?
Yes, that's pretty much hitting the nail on the head. I do fear not obeying the voice of the Lord.
Right.
And so that's where I'm at. And I you know, how whatever the outcome is in this race, I'm good with it, because I feel like people need to know the truth. They need to see that side-by-side voting record, because it's the right thing to do. So I appreciate the encouragement, and I've been overwhelmed at the response to my taking this on. Joe and I prayed long and hard before we made this decision, and since we made it last fall, people have come around us from all over the state to help, to donate, to get involved in the campaign. You know, donating it at every different level, small,
makes
medium, large, makes a difference. And people can do that at my website. They can sign up to help. My website's nancybartow.com, and we'll be happy to get you involved in any way.
Oh, that's great. Well, again, Nancy, I want to thank you for being here. I want you to know that you have the heartfelt and fully pledged endorsement of the Beacon Radio Show, and I wish that was on a much bigger platform and made a lot greater difference. But I hope that our listeners, you know, those that are tuning in, will maybe share this link for this podcast, will spread the word, will encourage people to go to nancybartow.com. I was there earlier. There's a great informational video that splashes up immediately when you go, and we're behind you. We're going to be praying that God will continue to order your steps as you live a life that you are attempting to make very pleasing and available to Him. And Jeff, as we wrap up today, I know you want to extend your gratitude to Nancy as well, and then maybe give us an update as to some of the cool things that God is doing. Again, the theme of our show is when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. And if you haven't seen that in Nancy's story or heard that today, then you need to listen again because you missed it. It's there. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, Nancy, there's a term we use around the school, and it's called living curriculum. And that when we look for faculty and staff, a student may having come to Phoenix Christian having never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John from the scriptures, but they'll see a living curriculum in our students. And this morning, you have been a living curriculum to Steve and I.
That's the truth.
A living curriculum of obedience. You speak to us as a leader. Leaders step out into the unknown and lead with courage, and you're there. And this morning has been an opportunity for us to stand with you there and to get a sense of you. And you've inspired, I hope, in the listener. And I tell you what, as a school superintendent, I take it back to my school that I serve, to challenge our students, our faculty and staff, not to rest in places of complacency, mm-hmm. But to get out, to speak, to get to know our legislators, to get to know what they stand for, to invite them into our community, see what we're about, to engage in relationship with them. And I appreciate your availability to be here with us this morning, to let us hear your heart. You've given us a sacred place of transparency of your journey, and you've got our full, wholehearted respect for that. And I sit reflecting, too, I remember as a young college student, Steve mentioned that I had political aspirations, went off and interned in the Clinton administration, and started volunteering in the heart of Washington, D.C., and fell in love with education, and that changed my life forever. And so my life is committed to that. And one of the things I remember studying there and in college was this idea of a free market approach even to education. And a term I know that you and I have used in the past is educational freedom. And Phoenix Christian, I'm here to tell you, as someone that lives and breathes many hours a day in education, to affirm that that the free market approach to education is working. As a Christian school, we serve nearly 500 students. There's an opportunity for us every day to get better, knowing that we're striving and competing with other educational institutions. We see and value their value in the community, but it forces us to be better. And I'm here to tell you it's working. And one of the defining elements, we've really started articulating a plan of where does Phoenix Christian see itself in the year 2030. And we're calling it Vision 2030. And one of the singular defining elements of that is that we see every student as a hero, and that Phoenix Christian 10 years from now wants to be known in our community as a school that takes every student where they're at. We'll take them where they're at, but we're going to help them grow in tremendous ways, and we want to have that reputation in our community to embrace every student, let them be the hero, the school gets to be the guide. We believe in keeping tuition low to keep educational freedom as an option for all families, to embrace opportunities like the tax credits, to keep educational freedom at a paramount. You've inspired me this morning to keep working on that. You have our encouragement. You have our prayer and our admiration.
Thank you so much. I really admire your mission. There's nothing more important than equipping the next generation, encouraging them to follow God and what He has for their lives. And you're right, education freedom is the future. It's brought competitive goodness and excellence to our state, and we don't want to see that go away. We want to see it grow.
Thank you.
Nancy, thank you. Jeff, thank you. Thank you, listener, for tuning in. I want to encourage you to go to nancybartow.com. I want you to send an email to feedback@beaconradioshow.com. We need your input. We value it, and we're thankful that you listen. We look forward to doing the next episode. Thanks so much for tuning in.